If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We want to look at the first portion of this chapter, the parable. Verse 1 starts and says, He began again to teach by the seaside. It's important to see and note and understand. Jesus said many times taught in the synagogue, taught and preached to the religious elite and the higher-ups. But much of Jesus' ministry was to the poor common man. And we find that is just the case today. As he's gathered by the seashore and the crowd has followed him, they're not in a lofty situation. They're in a place where any and all can gather together, where any and all can sit and hear the word, and where many from different paths of life, different walks of life, different economic backgrounds are all gathered together to hear the word. Because you see, salvation doesn't have to do with your economic class or your history. The only history that concerns us in the way of salvation is we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. We are all guilty. We all need salvation. Doesn't matter what state you're from, what part of the country, what part of the world you're from, you must have salvation. You must have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That we all share in common. So it really doesn't matter about our background as to the fact that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to hear the Word of God. I want to read together for the first 23 verses of this chapter. I ask you to stand in reverence of God's Word, and let's read about this parable, and then we will make some comments and thoughts, have some thoughts about it. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed or not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord add his blessing to his word as we meditate upon it this morning. Let us pray. Dear God, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. And, O God, as we are gathered together today, we ask that the message that is brought forth would be your word. O dear God, that you would be pleased to give unction, that by the power of your Spirit that you might make the word come forth as your word, as your message to our hearts. And that, O God, it might be received into our hearts by the ears given us by the Holy Spirit of God. O dear God, bless your word to our hearts, strengthen us. O Lord, for those gathered in our midst that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, if it please you, O God, give them ears this day to hear. Give them hearts to receive. O dear God, give them faith to believe that they may be changed for all of eternity. We ask all this now through the blessed name, the blood and righteousness of your holy and perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I will attempt to focus on three points this morning as we look at this parable. First of all, the parable itself. Secondly, the explanation of the parable. And thirdly, the application of the parable. First of all, the parable. Mr. Thayer says in his dictionary, and you've probably heard this brief definition before, the word parable means an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As Jesus is there on the seaside in the boat and the people are set it in the crowd, it may be something brought to memory. It may be something actually seen on the side of the hillside as a sower is out there sowing seed. It's a common place occurrence in that life and time. We don't know so much about it this day and time. We get most of our groceries the old-fashioned way. We go to the grocery store. We don't go out and sow much seed. We don't go out and sow in the fields. We don't actually go out and work the fields. We know very little about that. But in this day and time, as Jesus is teaching this lesson, this is something that is very well known by most of the crowd there, if not all of the crowd there. It may be an example going on the hillside, even as they're listening to Jesus teach. But he's giving them a story that they would know, a story that they would understand, a story that would be part of their life. And so here is the earthly story, and that's all he tells is the earthly story. But we will see later in the passage as the disciples come to him and ask him, and he gives the heavenly meaning of the story. And so we have both occurrences going on here. We want to look first of all at just simply the parable, the story itself. He begins in verse 3, as it's recorded, "Hearken, behold." That sounds almost redundant. It may be that people weren't paying good attention. So he starts off, and the first word is, "Hearken, listen, listen." He's catching their attention. Hearken, because the next word is, "Behold." As I'm proclaiming something profound. I'm proclaiming something important. But he starts off, first of all, saying, "Listen." Listen, it is common occurrence for us to be distracted in the world and to be distracted in the house of God. It is very much the will of Satan to come in and steal the glory of God as the word is proclaimed. And so Jesus starts as he presents this parable and says, "Listen, hearken, pay attention. You must hear this." We're talking here together today as he's telling this story. And some many may have asked, "Well, why are you telling us about a farmer? We understand about farming. We do farming." And it may be you at times say, "Well, why would you be telling us about that?" But you see, God has things for us. God has things to tell us, and we must hearken. We must listen. We must pay attention to what He has for us to hear, what He has for us to see. Have you not read the Scripture, and then at a later date read it again and seen something you totally missed the first time? That may be the case with the message today. So Jesus calls out to them, states with emphasis, "Hearken! Behold! There went out a sower to sow." There went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, read the verses with me again, 4 through 9. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you can hear this, if you can understand this, pay attention to it. The parable is about four different types of ground. The sower goes out to sow, and he is throwing the seed. He's broadcasting the seed, and it falls where it will. He's looking for the harvest. So he's sowing the seed. Wherever it will bring forth is what he's looking for. That's what he wants. And as he throws the seed, it finds four different kinds of ground, and it lands on these four different kinds of ground. There's the wayside. There's the path. Along the field or through the field, there's a pathway where everybody walks, and the ground is packed real hard. And the seed falls on it and bounces. And it takes no root. There's the stony ground. Ground with a little bit of dirt, but underneath the dirt, unseen to the human eye at this point, is a rock. There's a rock. Now, if you know anything about this, planting in the spring, it's a little bit cool. It's a little bit early in the year. There's not all that heat. But that rock sits there all day long and absorbs that heat. And then in the cool of the evening and the night, the rock gives up that heat. And so those seeds will actually spring forth first, faster than the others, because it has this artificial heat source there to keep the seed warm and make it come up. But the rock prevents the roots from going down. And so very soon when the heat does come, the plant can't make it and the plant dies because it has no root. It withers. There's the thorny ground, that sown among the thorns. Out along the edge, there's weeds that are grown up. And some seed falls in there, but the weeds are not growing yet. The seed falls, the seed starts to grow. Oh, there's going to be crop. But the weeds grow up around it and chokes it out and makes it unprofitable and kills it. Then there's the good ground. The good ground. That's where the prepared ground, where the seed falls in, the root goes deep into the ground, gets the nourishment and the moisture it needs, the water it needs, and it grows up. And he says it brings some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That would be if you put one handful down in this area, you get 30 handfuls back, or 60 handfuls back, or 100 handfuls back. There is fruit produced, so there is profit from this area. There is profit from this seed that falls on the good ground. If you look at a crop field, you'll see these areas. The good ground is immediately noticeable. That's where the crop is. I always think of a cornfield. Because there stands the corn tall and green, and tassels come out, and there's the ears, and there's the fruit. It's immediately noticeable. The crops are growing well there on the good ground. The wayside and the stony ground, they both look alike. They're barren. While on the stony ground, the crop sprang up a little while. It was there for a little while. As we look at it now, when the corn is on the stalk, they're both barren. They're simply dirt. There's nothing there. The thorny ground looks very green and is very tall, but there's nothing there but weeds. Be careful! There are briars there. You don't go digging in the weeds looking for corn. There's no fruit there. The world has choked it out. There's nothing friendly. There's nothing kind there. Nobody wants to go wading into the weeds. But we need an explanation. This is the parable. We've seen the earthly story. We need to understand the heavenly meaning because that's what we're here about. The heavenly meaning, the explanation. Jesus is not trying to teach them how to be farmers. As we've already said, they probably all know this, and maybe you do too. But do you know the heavenly meaning? That is the true purpose. That's the whole purpose for this story. The disciples didn't catch it. Look with me at verse 10. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. They didn't catch it. They didn't get the heavenly meaning. They didn't understand what he was trying to. They only saw the earthly story. They only saw the farming portion. They missed the heavenly portion. So they had to ask, what is this? What does this mean? I would encourage you, when you hear a message, when you study Scripture, if you don't find the heavenly meaning, ask. Ask. They did. And what happened? Jesus berated them, scolded them, and sent them off to their rooms. No, he didn't. He explained to them. We're told in the book of James, if you ask, lack wisdom, ask. And God gives liberally and upbraideth not. Ask if you need understanding. Ask if you have a question. Ask if you don't understand. But here, those that were the believers, those that were the disciples, did not understand, so they ask him. And then in verse 13, without being berated, Jesus explains to them. Read with me verses 13 through 20. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, the scripture, the preaching of the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We find in the parable, we find in the explanation, a sower and four hearers. Four hearers. The sower soweth the word. The sower preaches the word. The sower sows the seed of the gospel, the seed of the word of God. He broadcasts the word of God, and he throws it out everywhere. He throws it just like the sower in the picture did, and it falls upon the four different kinds of ground, the four different hearers. The concern of the sower is not, well, what kind of ground is this? What kind of ground is that? What kind of hearer is this? What kind of hearer is that? His duty, his responsibility, his concern is to sow the seed, to throw the word out. In the place where we stand today, I would be the sower. My purpose to stand in the pulpit is to sow the seed. It's not to entertain you. It's not to put on a show. Those preachers that are out to put on a show so that they have bigger congregations and more money are not the servants of the Lord, because that's not what the servant of the Lord is called to do. The servant of the Lord is called to sow the seed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we gather together in the worship service, contrary to popular belief in the world today, it's not about putting on a show and a whole lot of music. The worship didn't end when the music ended. The main portion of worship is the preaching of the word, the declaring of the word, the sowing of the seed. As we come to verse 15, he explains the first type of hearer. These are they by the wayside, the hard-packed ground in the picture, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. It's another occurrence where this is recorded, and Jesus talks about the birds coming in to steal away the seed. Satan comes in and steals the word. It's a encouragement as you do any planting or farming, that it's not always our activity that makes the seed come up. It's God's blessing that makes the seed come up. And sometimes we spill seed or make a mistake with some seed where we didn't intend to, and boom, it comes forward. But we don't look for growth on the hard-packed ground. And that's the story here. This seed might lay there, it might germinate, it might bring forth something. So Satan, in his desire to steal the glory of God, swoops in to steal the seed. One of the reasons we want to be reverent in the house of the Lord, one reason we want to be careful with how we gather together to worship, and that we have all the earthly things taken care of so that they don't interfere, so we don't have to run out back and forth out of the church service, is because we don't want to give Satan any opportunity to steal away the seed of the Word. We want people to be able to hear the Word and that it might fall into the heart and bring forth fruit. We want the glory to be God's. We want the Word to be broadcast and to fall as seed and to bring forth. We don't want to give Satan any opportunity to swoop in and steal away the seed. But he does. And he will. Perhaps you've been in a preaching service and you heard the Word and you thought, wow, you know, that was a good message. Boy, I like that. I really enjoyed that. That really said something to me. I really need to think about that. And the next Sunday, you come back and you think, what was the service about last Sunday? What was that about? The seed was stolen away. Sometimes you get to the car and it's gone. It's all Satan, whew, has swooped in and stolen the seed away. There will be no glory for God from this because Satan has stolen away. That's the picture here. That's the explanation that the seed has fallen on hard-packed ground. It bounced when it hit. It was so hard packed. And Satan has swooped in and stolen it away to steal the glory from God. One type of hearer. The second type of hearer we find in verses 16 and 17. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Man, they're real excited, they're real stirred up, they're real active, real fast. Just like the seed over the rock. They tend to act and respond even more quickly than the seed on the good ground. Jesus is particular in his example, in his parable. They receive it with gladness. Yet verse 17 tells us they have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They have no root. They have no ability to sustain. You see, we don't have. Unless it's a work of God, we won't remain. But as a child of God, we know that we endure forever. The true child of God has a root, has a work that is in Jesus Christ, and the work is done by Him. The psalmist says it's like a tree planted by rivers of living water. Everything else gets dry all around. Did you notice that this summer when it got hot and dry in August and everything turned brown because there was no water? Then the rain came and everything's green very quickly again. That's not how Christian life is supposed to be. We're supposed to be like the tree, the big oak tree that had deep roots and it was tapped down to water, tapped down to a source, and it remained green and it remained growing and it remained sturdy and stout and bringing fruit and working to do the things it needed to do to bring forth fruit. That's the child of God. Not this one that when the little heat comes, it withers. As a matter of fact, there is no heat that causes the child of God to wither and die. Because He is our source, not we ourselves. There's no rock of interference between us and Christ. We are tapped into the source. And we are believers, and we are His, and He keeps us, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, Jesus says. And so we don't wither and we don't wilt when the heat of persecution comes. The Christian grows stronger. How could that happen? Because we live, we walk by faith. We're not worried about that getting past the rock. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not in temporal things. It's not in situational things. Our faith is in Him. And when the situation arises, when the heat comes, when the persecutions are around us, and everything else is withering, our faith grows stronger. The child of God doesn't wither. The child of God doesn't falter. Yes, we still stumble. You'll read about that in an article in the bulletin today, and I encourage you to read about that. We have ebb and flow. We do struggle and we do falter, but we will never fail because it's God's work. We persevere because He preserves us. And we will keep on keeping on, as Brother George used to love to say, and we will keep on keeping on until the very end, till we go home with the Father, and there will be no more sin in our lives. The one that sprung up quickly over the rock and withered and died is not a believer, is not a child of God. They withered. They are offended. They are offended. Beyond the peace that passes understanding, this person is offended because they don't have that peace. The child of God has peace because their peace is in Jesus Christ. Their hope, their joy, their peace is in what Christ has done. It's not about what we're doing now. It's not about how we're doing now. It's about what Jesus Christ has done. My future is secure. My eternal life is safe because of what Jesus Christ did. My joy is in Him. My hope is in His promises because my faith is in Him. That's how it works with the child of God. That's how it is with the believer. These persecutions, these trials, these tribulations, this heat that comes upon them doesn't wilt the child of God. His faith grows stronger. Verse 18 and 19, we find the third type of hearer. We've seen the wayside or the packed ground hearer. We've seen the stony ground hearer. We come to the third hearer, which is those among the thorns. These are they which are sown among the thorns, verse 18 says, such as hear the word. Yes, they were here. They were church. They heard the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. They heard the word of God. Oh, and they were excited about it. They went, yes, yes, this is, I'm all about this. Oh, but wait, I've got to work that Sunday. Oh, I've got to do this that Sunday. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. The cares of the world, what does that mean? It can be your family. Providing and taking care of your family. Physical needs, you've got children, you've got elderly family members, you've got people that you need to take care of, you things that you need to do. But when those things interfere and choke out your spiritual life, something's wrong. Secondly, he says, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, I don't know anything about deceitfulness of riches. I know the goods of riches. You get money and you can buy things and you have stuff. No, there's a deceitfulness of riches. There's a promise of riches that tells you, yes, you can be rich. You can have this. You can have that. This can be your luxury. This can be your peace. This can be your hope. This can be what secures you and makes you feel safe. And it's all a deceitfulness because all of these things will be consumed. All of these things will falter. Where thieves do break in and steal and rust doth canker and moths eat it up. Jesus says, instead, build up treasures for yourself in heaven where none of these things happen. There's a deceitfulness to riches. It's alluring. It's tempting. It promises satisfaction and gratification. But that's all deceitful. That's all untrue. That's all a lie. But you see, when you buy into those deceits, when you buy into those lies, and they consume your time, and they consume your efforts, and they consume your world, and they choke out the spiritual life that should be a child of God, there's a problem. There's a problem. The passage goes as Jesus explains it. It says, they choke the word till the person becomes unfruitful. Now, these cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things may be such that they keep you out of the house of God on Sunday. But they don't have to necessarily keep you out of the house of God on Sunday. You can be in the house of God on Sunday. I mean, after all, we're only here for a few hours. But you may give the rest of your life, the rest of your week, the rest of all your hours and all your time and all your effort and all your energy to these things of the world. And they choke you out. If you're counting on being a strong, thriving, fruit-producing Christian on the little bit of time you spend in the house of God on Sunday, you're sadly mistaken. The child of God needs to be daily in the Word of God. The child of God needs to be daily in meditation and prayer. Much time spent on these things. Much time in meditation. Much time in talking about the things of God with the others. The other children of God. The cares of the world will choke out the fruitfulness of the Word. Are they interfering with you? Are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, are the lust of other things choking you out? Preventing you from bearing fruit? Preventing you from being what you need to be? Hard packed ground. Rocky soil. Thorny ground hearers. Three kinds of hearers. Three out of four. Three out of four who are not believers. Three out of four who do not bear fruit. Only one of the four bears fruit. Verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. They bring forth fruit. The only evidence, the only proof that this is true and genuine, that this is really a child of God, is that they bring forth fruit. The growth didn't matter. The springing up didn't matter. The fact that they were there and heard the Word of God and the seed was sown is not the important thing. The fact, the reason, the way we know is that they bear fruit. Have you ever planted and didn't get any fruit? This was the worst year we have ever had in our lives at our house with tomatoes. We bought better tomato plants than we normally buy, more expensive at a better place. And got, we may have got 5 tomatoes out of 6 plants the whole year. That was it. Some of them grew up a little ways and died right off. Some of them grew up and got tall and did nothing at all. The only thing that counts when you plant a tomato plant is, do you get some tomatoes? The only thing that counts when we talk about the sowing of the Word and the preaching of the Word is, do you bear fruit? Not, did you get real excited one time? Did you join the church? Are you a part of it? But do you bear fruit? Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, but all bear fruit. And the others don't matter. They don't matter. If you're not bearing the fruit of a child of God, if you're not bearing fruit as according to taught by the Scripture, what you have is not salvation. What you have is not Christianity. You're not a child of God. You had no hope of eternity. You had no hope of heaven. Because the ones on the good ground bear fruit. Every one of them. Different amounts, some 30, some 60, some 100, but all bear fruit. And if you're not bearing fruit, you're one of the other three. These on the good ground all bore fruit. There's no question about it. There's no gray area about it. Jesus was very plain and clear with the parable, was He not? He's very clear and very precise with the explanation of the parable, is He not? When you meditate upon this, assuming that Satan doesn't steal the seed away as soon as you walk out the door, then you would be a packed ground hearer. Then as you meditate upon this, think back to your own life where you planted something, and you will see and you will recognize as God describes this. But then don't stop there with the earthly story. Look to the meaning. How has this played out in your life? You've been here under the preaching of the Word. Most of you have been under the preaching of the Word for many, many years. What is the fruit? Is there any fruit? We had one tomato plant lasted all the way through till sometime late in September. And it was a spindly little old thing kind of laid over into some flowers growing up beside it. And it had little old tomatoes that would come up and they weren't worth anything at all. Maybe that's how you are. Well, at least I'm still here.
At least I still got a little green about me. At least I'm hanging on.
That's not the picture of a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. They are producing fruit for the glory of God. There's no... The withered one is like the one in the thorns, in the briars. Something's choking it out. That's not the child of God. That's not the picture we have of how a Christian is and how God provides for His children. That's not the picture you see of believers in the Scripture. Now, you may look to your family, you may look to your friends, and you may look to all these church members you know and work with, and that may be how you see them. They may all look like those tomato plants. Just barely hanging on, barely alive. That's not what Scripture teaches. Don't set your standard by the rest of the world. But I know so-and-so that this happened, and I know so-and-so that... You take so-and-so's record and you compare it to Scripture, because this is how it is. This is what the truth is. This is what God has taught. This is what the Lord says. Don't take your examples and try to set them as the standard. God's Word is the truth. We all know somebody, we all know lots of people in this world today who claim to be Christians, who believe themselves to be Christians, but they bear no fruit. They're not the children of God. Now I want to make sure you catch one other point. We've talked about the sower sowing the seed, we've talked about the four different kinds of ground, but there's a very important point I want to make sure that you don't miss here between verses 20 and 21. What lies between verses 20 and 21? In my Bible, it's a little white area. That's all that's there. But I'll make sure you don't miss the point that's in that area between 20 and 21. Go back with me. Verses 15 through 19, Jesus tells about the three types of ground that bear no fruit. The packed ground, the stony ground, and the thorny ground. In verse 20, Jesus tells about the good ground here, the true believer bearing fruit, the true child of God, and what he looks like. He's bearing fruit. Verse 21, he says unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Did you see there's a change from verse 20 to verse 21? Verse 20, he ends the parable. He's finished with the parable. Verse 21, while I think it has relevance to the parable's over, and he's changed gears. He's changed the discussion. He's changed. He's talking about something else now. And he says, does anybody buy a candlestick? Do you buy a light and take it home and put it under the bed so it doesn't do any good? No, you take the light, you put it up in the air where it'll do you some good, don't you? That's the question. But what I want you to see is the story changed from 20 to 21. The focus changed from verse 20 to 21. Verses 1 through 20 are the parable of the sower and the four kinds of ground. Verse 21, he's changing to something else. So what's the point when I say don't miss the difference between verse 20 and 21? The story finished. There's only four kinds of hearer. There's not a fifth kind. That's my point. He finished with four because there's only four. The focus is completely changed. There's no fifth kind of soil. There is no hearer that hears, is active and involved for a while, goes away for a while, and comes back and bears fruit. It doesn't exist. The one that got active and involved for a while and went away, that is the stony ground hearer. But you see, in the world today, you go talk to your friends, you go talk to this and other people, and they will tell you this. So-and-so made a profession. He was so active and involved in the church, and he was so enthused, and he did such a wonderful job, and then he was gone away. And he was gone, and his mama prayed for him for 10, 15, 20 years. Oh, but he came back. He came back, and he's fine now, and he's bearing fruit now, and he's... That don't happen. That's not there. Did you see that? There's four kinds of soil, not five. Not five. Oh, yes, he's wandered away, and we're praying for him that he would get back and get right and get in church before he dies. It's not there. It's not there. You're one of those four.
Amen.
They're all only four. The one that was active in the ball for a while and went away is either a stony ground hearer or a thorny ground hearer. And when he comes back, he needs seed to be sown again. He doesn't have salvation yet. There is no salvation there. God doesn't allow that. Jesus doesn't teach that. There's only four kinds. The one that went away for 20 years and came back is just as lost when he came back at the end of 20 years as he was when he went away. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. See that. Note that. Three times that this parable is recorded in the New Testament. All three times there's only four kinds of soil. And the child of God bears fruit. And the child of God endures. And the child of God perseveres. Why? John 15, we may look at that passage shortly. Jesus tells us, my Father is the husbandman. There may be some good farmers out there on the side of the hill as Jesus is in the boat preaching. There may be some good farmers in here. But there's not a single farmer around like God. And that's what Jesus said. My Father is the husbandman. My Father is the farmer. My Father is the one that's taking care of this. And He prunes it. And Jesus said, every branch in me bears fruit. And God prunes it to bear more fruit. God's not satisfied. Well, you know, at least you're producing a little bit and we're just going to leave you there and leave you for a little while. No, He prunes you to bear more fruit. That's what you're there for. So this plant that God plants and it just withers and lays there for 20 years and all of a sudden it kind of rises up and starts growing and producing fruit. Doesn't exist. God did not take a 20-year sabbatical and leave the farm go. God is there every day, every moment, working in His children to produce more fruit. We do people a disservice. We do God a disglory when we try to claim that, yeah, they just wandered away for a little while and now they've come back and everything is fine. We just call God a poor husbandman. We call God a shepherd that didn't care about the sheep. What did a shepherd do? He left the 99 and goes for the one. He's going to bring them back. He doesn't let them go. For a believer to be out there 20 years hanging out in the weeds of the world, being choked out by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the other lusts, it ain't happening. That happens to a sheep with no shepherd. That happens to a farm with no farmer. It doesn't happen to God's children. God doesn't allow that. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. If anybody ever knew how to care for sheep, it is Jesus Christ. And He's not going to lay His life down, pour His blood out to have a sheep to let it wander around in the world. Don't miss the point. Jesus very easily could have said, there are fruit bearers and non-fruit bearers. The fruit bearers are Christians and the non-fruit bearers are not. The parable has a purpose because we see this in the church. We see this in the world. People that spring up quickly and die away. But you see, because people do not understand this and they do not meditate upon this and they do not take the Word of God for the truth that it is, they start perverting. Okay, well, yeah, you can wither away and then you can spring back up and then you can wither away again and spring back up and sometimes they wither away and they die, but they still go to heaven because they were in the garden one time and sometimes they come back right at the end and then... No. He told the parable for a purpose. There are four different kinds and you will see them and you will see them in the house of God, but there are only four kinds. And so everyone, it must be one of those four. Some people who hold on to a time where, hey, I sprang up real strong there one time, but I withered away. Jesus says you're lost. It doesn't matter why you withered and died, you're dead. Whether it was the stony ground and you had no root, or whether it was the thorny ground and you were choked out, it doesn't matter. You either bear fruit or you're dead, spiritually dead. This is the explanation. We've seen the parable. We've seen the explanation of the parable. Do you see and understand? The question is not, were you there for the preaching? Were you there when the seed was sown? Yes. Well, some of the seed was stolen away immediately. Satan swooped in and stole it away. That's not the point. The point was not, were you in church? The point is, are you bearing seed? It's not, were you active for a while? The question is, are you bringing forth fruit for the rest of your life? Was the result of the preaching, was the result of the sowing of the seed, the sowing of the word, fruit bearing for the rest of your days upon the face of the earth? God is the husbandman. He doesn't let His plants die. No Christian ever lost their salvation. There's a lot out there who claim to be Christians who lost their salvation, lost their religion, but they never had anything to start with. What they had was not a work of God. My Father is the husbandman. God's children always bear fruit. You won't find in the Scripture a point where they don't. There's no such thing. We've seen the parable. We've seen the explanation. Let's look at the application. We must each ask ourselves, what does this say about me? What does this say about me? Let's take a few minutes and insert ourselves into this explanation that Jesus gave. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. You've all heard the preaching of the word. Time and again, you've been ground under the sower. Whether you were packed ground, whether you were thorny ground, whether you were stony ground, whether you were good ground, you were ground because you've been sown upon. You've had seed sown upon you. The parable is about the four different types of ground. Which one of these pieces of ground are you? Are you a wayside? These by the wayside, where the seed is sown, when they've heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the seed that was sown in their hearts. Nothing ever happens. You listen, and you walk away. You listen, and you walk away. You listen, and nothing ever happens. Nothing. Is this you? Are you a stony ground here? These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And maybe you can remember back. I remember back. I remember a particular message. I remember a particular service. I remember a particular time. And you spring up. But they have no root in themselves. So they only endure for a time. And afterward, there was this thing that happened in the church. And there was this bickering. And there was this fighting. And there was a disagreement. Or I didn't agree with what the preacher said. And you withered away and left. That's a stony ground hearer. Immediately they are offended. Something offended them, and the offense of the others around them was so great that it was greater than the salvation that was in them, supposedly. The offense of the others was greater than the love of Jesus Christ, is what they're stating. And so I had to leave. I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't be around it anymore. That's a stony ground here. You see, their hope, their faith was never in Jesus Christ. They had no root. They withered and died. Maybe you are among thorns or thorny ground. Sown among the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, choke out the word. And it becometh unfruitful. You may still be here. You may be here week after week after week after week after week. And there never is any fruit in your life. Because there's too much other things going on in the world. I'm too busy. And the cares of this world choke it out. Choke it out. Well, there was an interest. There was an interest in the Word, and I was excited about the Word of God, and I really wanted to participate. But I need to do this right now. There's a project going on at work. I got this going on with the family. I've got that going on, and one thing to another, and it all is choked out. You never realize your focus had changed. It's just kind of, oh, yeah, I was going to do something about that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were going to church there for a while. I don't know what happened. Just, yeah, it's been a while. I don't remember. We don't go anymore. That's the cares of this world. That's a thorny ground hearer. Are you a good ground hearer? A Christian? A believer? A child of God? That's what he's talking about. These are the children of God. These are those which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Three things that happen right there in that verse. They hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit. They didn't just hear it and go, okay, yeah, that was good, thank you, bye. They take it in. And this happens not just one Sunday. This happens over and over and over and over again. You hear the Word of God, whether you hear the message, or whether you read the Word of God, or whether you hear a good message on the radio. You got to be careful about some of that stuff you hear on the radio. But you hear the Word, and you receive it. You take it in, and you meditate upon it, like a sheep chewing its cud. Bring it back up, chew on it, make sure you understand it, make sure you got it. You're thinking on it, you're meditating upon it. That's receiving. They heard the Word, and they received it. And then they brought forth fruit. Three things they did. They hear the word. Everybody here today hears the word. Will you receive it? Will it bring forth fruit in your life? That's the difference in the four different kinds of hearer. Only one bears fruit. Only one is a child of God. So the question is, do you bear fruit? Are you bearing the fruit of a child of God? Are you active and involved in the things of God and bearing fruit? Just being in church is not it. What is the fruit? What is the fruit that a child of God brings forth? Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits shall ye know them." That's the only way that you can know if you are a good ground hearer, that you can know you are a Christian, is by the fruit that you bring forth. Many people struggle with what fruit is or what fruit is not as far as spiritual fruit. Let's see if we can clear this up just a little bit. I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe this will help get us on the right focus and get started right. When you sow corn into a field, what are you looking to reap? Corn. Oh, wow. You don't sow corn and go back looking for wheat. You don't sow corn and go back looking for dandelions. You sow corn and you expect corn in return. That's the fruit of what was sown. Okay? Very easy and simple, isn't it? Jesus explains it further in Luke chapter 6. A good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For thorns do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. Fig trees give figs, grapevines give grapes. Corn brings corn. Whatever you sow is what you get. And so Jesus said you can tell the believer because it's the Word of God that is sown, and that's what you get back. Good fruit, not corrupt fruit. This fruit Jesus is talking about is what was sown. What was sown, verse 14 says, the sower soweth the Word. The Word of God is what is sown. So what do we expect to get back? The Word of God. Does the Word of God come forth from your life? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do the commandments illustrate in your life that you're keeping the commandments? Illustrate that you are a child of God? Is it the love of God that shows in your life? Is it the Word of God that emanates from you? Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The child of God hears the Word of God, but then he does it. When you hear the message, when you read the Word of God, do you look for what God is saying to me? What do I need to hear from that? Or do you come to the preaching of the Word and saying, I got it all down. I'm just here to meet the time clock. I don't need to learn anything new. I already know all this. Or are you looking to see what God has to say to you? How God is looking to change you? We all need to be changed. None of us are perfect. None of us. Even the children of God are not perfect. We need to be changed by the Word of God. Does the Word of God bear evidence and fruit in your life? Have you ever walked in an orchard? What do you find under apple trees? Apples. Yeah. What do you find under tomato plants? Tomatoes. You ever heard of volunteers? Volunteers, that's where some fruit fell and the seed was in that fruit and it springs up another plant. You know, as a believer, the Word of life, the Word of God, the Scripture is falling off of you and springing up volunteers. Do people hear the Word of God from your life? Do they hear and learn about the Scripture, about the truth about God, about the truth of Jesus Christ from your life? Is there fruit falling off of you about the Word of God? Or can they meet you and see you and know you? I never knew that about them. I never knew you were Christian. I never knew you were involved in the things of God. What fruit's falling off of you? But volunteers aren't enough. The sower went out to sow. What is the sower sowing? He took that seed that is the fruit. If you're a Christian, you don't just bear fruit, you're a sower also. You're sowing the seed. Do you share the gospel? Do you share Scripture with others? When's the last time? Don't answer this because I don't want you to embarrass yourself. But you think about this. When's the last time you shared the Word of God with a lost person? If the only hope of their being saved was the fact that they knew you and you're a Christian and you're sharing the Word of God, if that's the only hope they've got of salvation, is that you were going to share the Word of God with them, what kind of hope do they have? Are you bearing fruit? This is what a child of God does. Do you? We've seen four different kinds of here. You're one of those four. You're one of those four. Only one of those goes to heaven. The one that bears fruit. Is that you? If you're one of the others, there's not something you can fix in your life. What you need to do is fall before God in repentance and cry out to Jesus Christ. That's the only hope there is for you. You can't work harder. You can't work, well, I'm going to do away with the cares of the world and I'm going to work harder. That's not the answer. You can't do that. That's not what it is. Salvation is not yours to do. Salvation is God's work, and you don't have it if you're not bearing fruit. So you cry out to Jesus Christ. You cry out to God for repentance, for forgiveness. That's the only thing you can do. You have no hope. You have no ability to do anything else. Lord, have mercy upon me. It's fall. Leaves will be turning quickly. All the plants are dying off for winter. As you see that this week, as you look upon that this week, if the devil hasn't already stolen away the seed, I pray that you meditate upon this message. You're here today. The seed is being sown. The question is, what kind of soil are you? The only good soil was the soil that brought forth seed. The only reason it brought forth seed was God did a work. God sent the Holy Spirit. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Has God done a work in you? Have you been made good soil? Has the seed of God sprung up in your life and produced fruit for the glory of God? And does it continue? Apply the Word to your life, that you may know the truth and may stand before God, either in Jesus Christ or in your own sins. Which will it be? Dear God, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the parable. Oh God, we thank You for the explanation. We praise You, O Lord, for the Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts. Oh God, may You be at work in this place to bring forth fruit for Your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.